This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Even though you may want to breastfeed your baby their entire life, at some point, you need to start complementing their liquid diet with solid foods. How do you know when it's time, and what are some easy-to-digest ideas for baby's first foods? I'm Vanessa Wells, nutritionist from True Nature Nutrition, and today we're talking all about starting your baby on solids. This is Parent Savers episode 61.
Faster than a speeding toddler.
Sit still for just a minute.
Can soothe boo-boos with a gentle kiss.
Would you get down from there?
Able to clean poopy bottoms in a single swipe.
Oh, what did you eat?
Turning frazzled mommies and daddies into procreators of peace and harmony.
Ah, quit touching me.
It's Parent Savers, empowering new parents everywhere.
Welcome everyone to this week's episode of Parent Savers. As usual, we're broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Parent Savers is your weekly online, on-the-go support group for parents of newborns, infants, and toddlers. I'm your host, John O'Reill. Thanks again to all of our loyal listeners who have joined the Parent Savers Club. Our members get all our archived episodes, bonus content after each new show, plus special giveaways and discounts. Subscribe to our monthly Parent Savers newsletter for a chance to win a membership to our club each month. Another way for you to stay connected is by downloading our free Parent Savers app, available in the Android and iTunes marketplace. So let's go around and do some introductions with everyone that's here in the studio and talk about what kind of kids we have. I'm joined in the studio by a couple of our super parents, Scott and Ursula. Scott, remind us how many kids you have.
I'm Scott Killian. I'm 36 years old. I'm a certified financial planner, and I have one boy, Alex.
How old is Alex?
He is three.
Hi, I'm Ursula McDonald. I'm 35, and I used to be a full-time office manager, but now I'm spending most of my time with my two boys, Desmond, who's four, and Callan, who is two.
And I have three boys, 6, 4, and 2, and we are done having kids. but I still love seeing babies. We just saw one in the lobby. It's so cute. But we're not having any more, but we like talking about it. And Vanessa's in the studio as well. Vanessa, tell us about your kids.
My daughter Maya is a year and a half, and we are not done having kids. Maybe one more, but I don't think three. That seems like a lot.
It's not too bad. It's not too bad. It's fun.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Before we start today's show, we're actually going to start talking about a new app from Fisher-Price. They actually have a series of apps that you can download that are great for young kids. And they even say that they're designed for kids as young as 6 months old, which it's always hard to kind of reconcile that with the American Academy of Pediatrics recommendation that kids under two shouldn't have any screen time at all. The reality of today's world is kids under the age of 2 years old are getting some screen time. And so I think what you're looking for is, you know, what are games that they can play, not get frustrated, that are good for them, that also will have educational benefits. And so we checked out this app called The Giggle Gang from Fisher-Price, and they've got a whole great line of apps. But in this Giggle Gang one, and we'll have a link to this on our website, there's two different things that kids can do. They can either touch and interact and move the screen around and, you know, make the Giggle Gang giggle. There's six little kind of creatures that look like little stuffed animal balls, kind of with smiley faces. Or they can play some music with the Giggle Gang as well. Did you guys have a chance to check it out, Scott and Ursula?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you guys think?
I thought it was cute. I definitely thought it was cute. I thought that it missed a little bit of potential of a little bit more on the educational tip.
Okay.
I thought it was fun and I thought it was cute. And I thought for, especially for a younger child, you know, 6 months to a year, I think they would have fun poking it and stuff. I thought the music part was cute. I thought, though, that, like I said, it missed a little bit of opportunity of, like, being a little bit more educational. I like when they do have screen time for it, definitely to have that educational angle to it.
Right.
And I thought it was a tad bit lacking on that end. Like, I think that they could have incorporated colors more or done a little, just a little push more in that direction. But other than that, I thought it was very cute and very fun.
Right. It's one of those things that maybe you don't know if a kid that young will understand that you're saying red or yellow, but at some point they do, right?
Yeah.
And you don't know when that's going to start. So why not incorporate it? What do you think, Scott?
I can't imagine giving this to a 6-month-old to do. I am not a fan of screen time at all.
Yeah.
And I just don't, as far as giving them an app like that, I found exactly zero benefit in giving it anybody. It was confusing for me. The stars going all over the place was like, I mean, it was giving me like, I was like, what's going on here? And I know that with my boy, I mean, he would just go crazy looking at all that stuff. I would much rather spend the time with my son outside or doing something else.
Yeah,
I feel like that would be a much better use of time.
Well, I know in our family, there's a couple things about this app that I did like for young kids. I think it's a little bit weird that they say it goes down to 6 months old, because I think that that's pretty young to be playing with these devices. But, you know, in our case, we have 3 kids. And so if our older boys are playing with a device, our younger kid wants to play with a device. And I can go outside and take him for a hike all I want, but the dude's going to scream to be able to play with the app. And maybe I'm a bad parent because I give him that stuff, but I try to find things that he can play. So there's 2 things that I kind of like about it. One is, and I kind of don't like it as an adult, but I love it for kids. Once you're in, there's 2 different modes. And once you're in that mode, there's no way to get out of it except to hit the button to get out of it. But that's great. There's no ads. There's no things that are popping up. There's no way for kids to accidentally do what they're not supposed to do unless they hit the button, which kids that young are going to do. But the other thing, and I don't know if you guys saw it, but you can record in each of the Giggle Buddies, you can record your own voice. So when they touch it, they hear what you're saying. So playing around with his older brothers, you know, we were recording like things that said his name, like, "Hi, baby Zyler," or he likes Oppa Gangnam Style, like, "Oppa Gangnam Style." And just so whenever he would hit different things, that he would have a lot of fun and hear our voices. And so you can customize it to do your voices. I think that the Fisher Price apps, there's a whole line of them, if you go look from the App Store, are pretty good. And I like this for young kids. But obviously, don't go out and have your kids start playing games just to play this app. With a couple of caveats, we're going to give this one a parent saver's thumbs up, and that is if you're okay with your kids playing with these apps and if you're okay with no overtly educational value. I give these a thumbs up. Ursula, what do you think?
I give it a cautious thumbs up. It's not my favorite.
All right, cool.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome everyone to this week's episode of Parent Savers. Today's topic is all about starting your baby on solid foods. We just talked about this app, and so I wonder if people are starting their baby on solid foods, you know, after they're even playing these apps. That's kind of interesting. But today we're talking with Vanessa Wells, nutritionist at True Nature Nutrition, so thanks for joining us.
Sure, happy to be here.
All right, so I'm going to ask you the first question, and if the answer for this one is short, then the show is not going to be very long, but I feel like I need to ask it. What age should babies start on solid foods?
The World Health Organization recommendation is 6 months of age. So in the ideal world, exclusive breastfeeding until 6 months, and then introducing solid foods, what they call complementary foods alongside breastfeeding, at about 6 months of age, provided baby is healthy and was, you know, full term, no reflux issues, that kind of thing.
Right. So what are some of the signs to look for to see if they're ready?
Babies sitting up on their own, they're super interested in food. Like my daughter would, you know, stare you down when you were eating, like, "Hey, what's that? Let me have some of that." Some kids will even just reach over and grab it. They've lost the tongue extrusion reflex. So if you hold a spoon up to their mouth and they immediately thrust their tongue out, they're probably not ready.
Okay.
Because once that goes, then they can actually accept a spoon in their mouth. So those are some of the signs.
I didn't realize that was a reflex.
Yeah.
So that's a reflex that with the baby, if you put something in their face, they stick their tongue out?
Yeah, it's actually like a safety thing so that they don't get weird things in their mouth when they're really little.
Yeah. Oh, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But even beyond the 6 months, say you start at 6 months, there are still certain foods that you have to wait, like shellfish and eggs and whatever it may be, right? Is that?
Yes and no. So the recommendations are changing in terms of those high allergy foods, which is kind of what you're referring to. The research suggests that there's actually no benefit in waiting, and that if you don't have a family history of allergies and you feel comfortable introducing those high allergy foods, go ahead and do so with caution.
Mm-hmm. And just kind of keep an eye on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And watch for the signs. I often recommend parents have taken a CPR class, so if there are allergy issues, that they feel that they can handle them, you know, if there's a major allergy reaction.
Yeah, it is. I remember somebody gave one of our sons, when they were watching him, like some shrimp when he was like 9 months old, and my wife was freaking out, like, you can't have it till he's a year old. But, you know, I mean, it's interesting that they're saying that recommendation is changing, because I was wondering, well, what happens like right on that 1 year old birthday? Yeah. All of a sudden,
shrimp. Yeah. So, my recommendation is like look at your family history. If you or your husband, your brother has an allergy to something, you may want to be cautious with that food.
Right.
But if not, and you feel comfortable with it as a parent, then there's no problem to go for it.
I would introduce foods. I would give maybe a week every time I introduced something new so I could track if there was any sort of, we didn't have a history of allergies or bad reactions. And luckily we didn't really see anything like that, but I definitely waited a week before I gave anything new so I could see if there was a reaction.
That's a good technique. A new food every 3 days is pretty safe. If you want to introduce foods closer, keeping a food journal is also a good idea. That way, if your baby does have a reaction, you know what new foods you introduced over the last 2 or 3 days.
We kind of jumped ahead. I wanted to talk a little bit more about what's going on inside baby.
Okay.
Like with what, from like their digestive standpoint. Because introducing, solid foods, and we'll talk about these specific ones in these journals, it's a change, right? You're going all of a sudden from they're getting everything from liquid to getting everything from a solid. So what's kind of happening inside them? Do you have a good idea of what's going on there?
Sure. So until about 6 months of age, their digestive system isn't fully developed. And even at 6 months, it's still developing. Mm-hmm. So before then, they're really not ready to handle foods. At around 6 months, somewhere between 6 and 9 months, their body starts producing the enzymes that are needed to break down the foods so that they can actually digest and absorb the nutrition. So they're before that, they're getting those enzymes in the milk, like it's in breast milk.
Yeah.
So everything that they need to digest the food, comes in the nice little breast milk package. But then when the food comes, their body's like, oh, what do I do with this?
Right.
Oftentimes, parents notice some changes when they first introduce solids. A lot of parents suddenly, their child may, not have a bowel movement for a few days as the system sort of tries to figure out, like, what I do with this. But most kids get back on track within a couple of weeks.
Well, I mean, it makes a lot of sense if you think about it's only liquid that's going through that system, and then all of a sudden you're putting something new in there.
Even if what you're giving them is almost liquid, it's not exactly liquid.
That's true. Well, what are some good foods to, start them off on?
I tell parents to start with whatever that they feel comfortable with, as long as it has some good nutritional value.
Okay.
So a lot of parents start with cereals, and that's okay, but I suggest whole grain cereals. White rice cereal doesn't have a lot of nutritional value, and if you can skip it, I would skip it.
Yeah, I think that sometimes parents think that they need to really, really ease into it, so they're going for the most mild watered down cereal as possible, or I guess breast milk down too.
Right.
Another thing that you can do, right?
You can. I would suggest, though, using breast milk to water down nutritious food like avocados or bananas or a whole grain or whole grain cereal or brown rice cereal, something that's got some good nutritional value.
And there's some really good whole grain, oatmeals and brown rice cereals that I used that were great, and mixed it with the breast milk. And then sometimes I would mix in a new fruit or something that we were introducing in with that cereal. But
that's a great idea. They even have quinoa-based baby cereals now. So there are lots of options that have good nutritious value to them.
I know Andrea used to make this porridge called the super porridge or something, and she would freeze them in this ice cube and then put like cantaloupe or kiwi or something on top of that. And that was a really good introduction.
Yeah. So if you do want to start with cereals, I tell parents, go for it. Just avoid the white rice. Just like you don't suggest eating white bread.
Yeah.
Same thing.
But so like the very first time you're feeding your kid, you probably shouldn't mix in these other things that we're talking about yet.
Probably not. It's probably best to start with one food.
Okay.
So either a cereal, often avocado and or banana are easy on the system as well. And easy to make because you just mash it up.
So avocado as like the first food that they
that's
eat.
What I gave
Is
my
really?
Kids.
Yeah.
And that's what my mom gave me. And what I love about avocado, and this is just a little tip for busy moms and dads out there, is that, you know, we go out to eat a lot. And here in California, almost every single restaurant you can get, usually it's about $1 to get a side of avocado. And so I didn't have to lug around if we were spontaneously going to go out to lunch,
Yeah. You
know, I could nurse real quick before we had lunch, and then I could order the side of avocado, cut it up,
mash. And
there you go. You could either
mash it up,
like, but it's so soft, even if it was just a small little bite, you know, they mm-hmm. can kind of gum it a little bit and mash it with their tongue and everything, and it's healthy, and it's available, and it's easy for them, and they loved it. So bananas, though, I did have an issue with bananas because they're so soft and tasty, and my son loved it. When I first introduced it, he loved it, so every morning I give him a couple bits of banana, and he got constipated for the first time, and I didn't know that banana could bind you up. Of course, now I realize, you know, when you're sick, you have the brat diet, and bananas is part of that. So, so if you do introduce banana, from my own personal experience, I would like maybe, you know, give it every other day or something, so they don't get bound up, or make sure that they're getting a lot of hydration. So
that's true. There are some foods that some kids can get constipated from, and banana is one of them. Sometimes you can give banana one day and then something like pear the next, because pear does help get things moving again. And if you alternate like that, then you have less chance of getting constipated.
Yeah, I felt terrible.
Is there a danger when you give them something like banana, though, that it's so sweet? I mean, do they taste the sweet the same way that we do? Or I guess who would know? You can't really ask a baby. But, is there a danger where if you give them banana, then they're only going to start liking those sweet foods? Because you hear about kids, they start getting a lot of sugar, then they only start having this taste for sugary foods.
The research suggests that there's no evidence that if you start with fruit that they're only going to like sweet foods.
Mm-hmm.
Variety is important, fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
I think that kids develop those sweet tastes when they're eating sweet processed foods.
Okay.
You know, with a lot of added sugar.
Breast milk sweet. So they're already, if they are breastfed, they're already used to sweet things.
Yeah. It tastes a little like soy milk, but I'm not going to tell you guys why I know that. Anyway, when we come back, let's talk more about these foods. I think that there's some more good tips that we can share for early eaters. So we will be right back after a quick break. Welcome back, everybody. Today we're talking about starting baby on solid foods with Vanessa Wells from True Nature Nutrition. So we were talking a little about some recommendations for foods, and I was just asking about you know, sweet foods, and it sounds like it doesn't blast. Because I remember one of the first foods that we gave to, I think, Whitaker was green beans, you know, the mashed green beans. Loved them. And I was so afraid to have him try, like, peaches or apricots, because I thought that once he goes that, he's not going to want to go back to green beans. Am I projecting too much onto them and they'll kind of bounce around?
They will bounce around, especially at the young age, you know, between 6 and around 18 months. They're pretty open to new foods, new tastes, textures. It's like a new learning experience for them. And then once you hit that like 18-month period, that's when kids are really like, hey, no, I want, you know, they can have more say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I would say variety is important at that young age.
Okay. So you're introducing stuff, you know, every 3 days. You don't want to just throw 3 different options in front of them either. It's if they're eating one thing, is that what they're eating, or what did you do? Ursula?
Well, the problem with giving more than I'm no expert on this, but yeah. Just from my experience of giving more than one thing at a time, at first is if they do have a bad reaction to something, if they do get constipated or they do get some sort of allergic reaction, it's hard to pinpoint, okay, exactly what is it? Mm-hmm. So I think that that's why, and I was a tracker, so I had an app that I tracked all the new, it was an app that I used to track his sleep and his growth and his breastfeeding, but then it had a solid food option. So I would track every new solid food that I introduced, and then that way I could see if he did have a reaction or if he wasn't sleeping well or who knows what. I could look back and say, oh, when did I introduce that? Is that it or not? So that would
spacing
be
spacing it out really isn't for baby then. It's for in case something happens.
So it's spacing it out is for keeping track of reactions, constipation, allergies, that kind of thing. And it's not something that you have to do. If you don't space it out, if you introduce two or three new foods in one day, I would write it down so you have an idea. Okay. It kind of comes down to what you as the parent feel comfortable with.
What reactions can you see?
So allergy reactions can be anything from the extreme reactions that, you know, we're all as parents afraid of in terms of anaphylactic shock and that kind of thing to eczema, you know, other types of skin rashes, diarrhea, constipation. If for some reason baby starts crying 20 minutes after they eat the same food, maybe they're getting a stomach upset. Yeah. So just watching out for those kinds of signs.
I also noticed sometimes citrus would give if too much, whenever it was appropriate to introduce citrus, if we gave too much at one time, it could get a sore bum. So, you know, you got to kind of, even though if they really love that apple juice, or I mean that orange juice or whatever, you have to kind of hold it back so that they don't get a sore bum. But,
so citrus is not really a good first food, right? Or it could be.
Again, it could be. It could be. Like I said, every child's different.
Yeah.
Every family situation's different. As long as you're working in variety, I think that's important. I think what Ursula's saying is true. If you give your kid too much of any food,
right,
they might have a reaction. And, you know, especially like citrus food's quite acidic. So that can be a bit harmful for the baby's bottom.
So what, as we're introducing foods, what are the nutrients and vitamins that we're trying to get to our kids through foods?
Okay, so babies have a good store of things like iron, zinc, vitamin D, B12 until about 6 months of age. That's kind of how they're designed. And that's why starting complementary foods, starting solids at 6 months is important, because those levels start to come down. So foods with good nutritional value, high in iron, high in zinc, high in B12 are important. A lot of parents freak out and think, oh no, I've got to do meat right out of the gate, because that's what you think of when you think of iron. But there are lots of vegetable foods that have iron in them as well. So,
can we get all of those nutrients in the foods that we can get today, or is a recommendation to supplement with, you know,
vitamins? I wouldn't suggest supplementing unless your baby is iron deficient. So if you're worried, I would get your pediatrician to test. But otherwise, they are foods that if you get creative and you are following, you know, healthy eating guidelines, that you can definitely get into your baby.
But you would recommend don't self-supplement. Only do that on the recommendation of others.
Yeah. I mean, I know that there are recommendations already to supplement for vitamin D, and so that's important. But I would suggest, in terms of iron, get levels tested first before supplementation.
What kind of tools, or is it helpful for families to have in order to make first foods? You hear a lot about, and especially with the rise in popularity of Pinterest, right, that there's so many, you know, different ways and ideas to make your own baby food and your first solid foods. So what are some kind of tools as you're helping, you know, introduce baby? Like, is there certain kinds of spoons that are good? Are there certain kind, like cheesecloth bags? Are there blenders, food processors, that kind of thing?
Well, I know that there's like a ton of things that are marketed to parents, you know, baby blenders and baby mills, and you could just get kind of carried away. Yeah. My suggestion is one of those little handheld...
Mortar and pestle?
Or even one of those little handheld blender things that just, you know, into the bowl, it's really easy. Some sort of blender... I don't think you need to rush out.
Like a hand blender that
right.
you can put
Yes,
into
like a hand
cup.
Blender. I don't think you need to rush out and buy specific baby food making
tools.
What's
a baby blender do that a regular blender doesn't?
I'm not sure.
We had this thing, and we still use it, is like it's a cheesecloth bag that you can screw onto a ring. And so you could put like even like something like an apple in it, which is too hard and solid, and you don't want him to get the chunks because he would choke on it. But he could gum the apple, get the juice out of it, and some of the, you know, some of the stuff that he could make through the cheesecloth bag. And I thought that was really cool,
and
too.
And frozen stuff, and then they can teeth with it, you know, and soothe the gums.
Yeah, exactly. That was great for teething. And now if they ever get any trauma in their mouth, it's an easy way to give them an ice cube. And,
yeah.
Like, put it right
yeah,
in.
Yeah, my daughter still uses that. I really thought that those cheesecloth...
those little rings
were great because really then they could self-feed as well. Gives them a little bit of independence.
Yeah.
And they can hang on to it for a while. So it's like, here you go. I need to go empty the dishwasher or something like that, you know?
Well, beyond just teething, though, I feel like a lot of times if you go to like a big box store, you see these containers of, you know, puffy sweet potato is the big buzzword for a little bit, like sweet potato puffs or, you know, there's even like some cheesy poofs that they're really marketed though as they should be some of baby's first foods. And I mean, obviously the instinct is, you know, those can't be that good for babies. But what do you think? What's your standpoint on those?
My main concern with them is when you look at the ingredients, oftentimes you see added juice, added pear juice, added apple juice to sweeten.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of nutritional value in that. So I would say if you can avoid it, and
right.
be feeding your baby nutritionally dense foods, you're better off.
Yeah, those foods are not nutritionally dense. They're probably the opposite.
So you're filling up with kind of empty calories.
Yeah.
If you are going to do those, because like my mom as a grandma loved to have those little...
Right, exactly.
We call it baby crack, the little puffs.
Right.
Because they go crazy over it. Totally. And, you know, you have the fine motor skills of the pincher grasp and everything, but there's a... wide range of quality I've seen as far as brands.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get like the lowest of the low that has all kinds of added junk mm-hmm. that you definitely don't want to give your kids. And then there's brands that when you look at it, it's non-GMO, very limited ingredients, organic ingredients. And so obviously, you know, okay, this is kind of like a snack food. It's not something we're going to actually count on as a meal, but as they're kind of going along in the stroller, it's keeping them occupied. I felt a little bit better of giving them those ones that were more on the organic, low process kind of end of things.
Right.
I agree. Look at the ingredients list. If there's a lot of ingredients in them, I'd move on. If there aren't a lot of ingredients and most of the ingredients are whole foods, then yeah, go for it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much. I think that was a lot of helpful information today, Vanessa. For more information about starting your baby on solids or about any of our super parent panelists, visit the episode page on our website, parentsavers.com. We'll continue the conversation for our Parent Savers Club members after we wrap up the show, talking a little bit more about starting baby on solids. For more information about the Parent Savers Club, visit our website.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
As we near the end of today's show, here's Detective Damian Jackson with some great ways to better protect our children.
Hey, Parent Savers. This is Detective Damian Jackson with the Escondido Police Department's Family Protection Unit and the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force here in San Diego, California. As part of the Escondido Police Department's ongoing series of community outreach education to help families enhance their personal safety, I'm here today to talk to you about Facebook security settings. In today's technology-driven world, it's never been easier to stay connected with friends and family across the globe. On the flip side of that same technology, it's never been easier to be victimized by strangers that wish to do you and your family harm. The good news is that with a little bit of proactive action on your part, you can easily prevent your family from being the next target. Like most people, I've got a Facebook account to share news and events with friends and family over a common network. Just last night, I was reading some comments on a friend's posting and came across a person I don't even know and have never even met in my life that, because of his Facebook settings, provided me with almost every detail of his life, including each person's name and his family, including his wife, his children, where he works, pictures of his kids, his wife, his home, his car, and his personal stance on just about every issue under the sun. The point of this is, he has no clue who I am either, but I know more about him in less than a minute than it would take one of his friends or coworkers several months or more to get. That, my friends, is extremely dangerous. Look at it this way. Would you post all of that same information on the sides and back of your car and drive around all over the place on a daily basis with your personal and family information out in the open for all to see? Of course not. But then again, at least that would keep your personal information available only in the areas you drive, right? Well, unfiltered Facebook settings provide your information to the entire world. Think about it. There are lots of resources and easy tutorials available online to walk you through filtering your settings. Take those few minutes to secure your information, protect your family, and enjoy Facebook as it was meant to be, between only those you know and trust. For more information on how you can keep your family safe, visit us on Facebook or Twitter at @Escondido Police. With the Escondido Police Department and the San Diego Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, I'm Detective Damian Jackson reminding you and your family to be smart and be safe.
That wraps up our show for today. Thanks again to Vanessa and to our panelists, Scott and Ursula. We appreciate you all listening to Parent Savers. Don't forget to check out our sister shows too, Preggy Pals for expecting parents and our show The Boob Group for moms who breastfeed their babies. And if you're anything like me, when you see a pregnant mom or a mom with some other kids or a dad out and about, make sure to tell them about newmommymedia.com and all the great shows that we're doing and share the experience. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about setting your home with principles from the Montessori method. It's kind of an interesting way to apply. Montessori means a lot to school to some of us, but it's really a method of learning. And we've got an interesting show planned where we're going to be talking about bringing those principles to your home. So please join us next week. Thanks so much for joining us this week. This is Parent Savers, empowering new parents.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.